I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele. Everything I say and do,
I'm just not good enough for you. Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We have a great episode today, so let's get right to it. Illegal immigration costs the United States $135 billion a year. That translates to well over $8,000 per illegal alien. What would you do with an extra $8,000 a year? Would you put a down payment on a car? Would you redo your kitchen? How about go on a long-dreamed vacation? What could our country do with $135 billion a year, which is about $1.5 trillion over 10 years? Would we rebuild our roads, reduce our healthcare costs, improve our schools, or maybe just return these hard-earned taxes to us, the American people? What if illegal aliens didn't live here? Would your salary increase? Would crime be reduced? Would your kids get to spend more quality time with their teachers? Would America still be the country that we love? This is a difficult discussion because illegal aliens are not cattle. They're not inanimate objects. We're dealing with human beings, many of whom are very decent people. But remember the lifeboat analogy. Only so many people can fit in it until it is overturned and everyone drowns. Are you willing to sacrifice your family and personal well-being so that everyone can try to come aboard? How about our country? Are you willing to sacrifice it so that rich people can have cheap labor and greedy politicians can have more votes? Think about it for a second. Is it worth it? Is illegal immigration good for America? And even more important, who are these forces that try to shove all these illegal immigrants down our throats? The second part of our show will bring up equally difficult issues. I will open with this harsh question. Are liberal Jews unwittingly supporting the building of new ovens on the way to a new Holocaust? Liberal Jews hate President Trump in a most unforgiving and unreasonable way. They also don't seem to have too much sympathy for the Jewish homeland of Israel either. They have stuck with the Democratic Party through thick and thin, despite the fact that it has voted in some clearly anti-Semitic members, Ilhan Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Bernie Sanders come to mind. Many of the liberal Jews are more concerned with illegal aliens, homophobia, and Islamophobia than they are with everyday Americans, including conservative Jews and Israeli Jews. Where does this self-loathing come from? Is it from feelings of inferiority, weakness, jealousy, or just plain stupidity? Why have these self-hating liberals forsaken the God of Israel for the God of liberalism? Why is it that these sworn lefties have such mixed feelings about the USA, our president, and their ancestral homeland of Israel? This is going to be one hot, controversial show. But first, let me remind you to subscribe to our podcast, which is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn, and soon to be available on iTunes. We'll be right back with our discussion of illegal immigration. This is AJ Steele. Don't go anywhere. All I really want to
be is the guy that gets that girl. The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wise. Because he tells it just like it is. You finally see your love
belongs to me. Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. Today we're going to discuss illegal aliens, illegal immigration, and I'm going to give you the unvarnished truth, the things that I believe. Let's start with this premise. If I lived in one of those hellhole countries, I would also try to sneak into the USA. But that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it right for the United States. And before all the hand-wringers, all the lefties start yelling, oh, you're racist, oh, you don't understand, you're a naturalist, you're anti-immigrant, you have white privilege. Before you start all that crap, I just want to remind everyone that I am an immigrant. I came here very, very poor. I didn't know the language too well. I didn't have too many resources. So I think I have the right to speak about, and I think I know a little bit about what it's like to come to the United States and struggle. Now, I also think that native-born Americans of any kind of race have every right to have an opinion about illegal aliens, and that does not make them a racist, does not make them evil. Illegal aliens don't follow the laws. We do have a law in this country that you have to come here legally. And so I'm tired. I'm so sick and tired of all these idiots on the left that have no moral argument, no reasonable argument, and all they do is basically tar and feather everyone who disagrees with them. And let me bring up another interesting point. I live in a very affluent white area that is completely liberal. It's one of the most liberal counties in California. And none of these white people that vote for Bernie and love socialism, none of these rich white people want to live anywhere near these illegal aliens. They're constantly virtue signaling about how much they love illegals, but the only time they ever meet illegals are when they work for them as nannies and as gardeners. And they underpay them. Believe me, they underpay them. Their kids don't go to public schools. They go to private schools. You know why? So they can keep away from the hordes of illegals that they love so much. So I don't want to hear anything from these fake, phony, not-in-my-backyard liberals. They're full of crap. None of them care about these illegals. They use them as slave labor, as low-cost slave labor. And also to score political points with the conservatives that they seem to hate so much. These jerks pretend to care so much for illegal aliens, but they could not care one bit about America's poor, about America's unemployed. They don't care at all. Why don't they hire some black people? There's plenty of black people that need work. Why don't they hire legal Hispanics? They don't. Why don't they hire poor white people that need jobs? They don't. If they hire an American, they have to pay payroll taxes, they have to pay workers' comp, they have to pay Social Security, they have to pay Medicare, and they don't want to pay that. So why not hire an illegal and feel so good about it? It doesn't matter that they treat them like slaves. It doesn't matter that they completely underpay them. They don't pay any overtime. But you know what? They feel good because they help the poor little illegal alien. These people are so noble. They should get a Nobel Peace Prize like Obama did. They're a bunch of rich jerks living in gated mansions, and the whole time they tell us that we shouldn't have a wall. They're protected by a wall, but we're not allowed to have one. Hypocrites. Let's get back to why I feel that illegal aliens are the biggest problem facing America right now and why we need to deal with it as soon as possible. Most of these people come from failed cultures, crooked governments, horrible social systems, and they have poor morality due to those factors. Most of these illegals are failures in their own country. The winners of those countries usually stay at home. So with a few exceptions, you don't get the smartest people from Mexico. You don't get the smartest people from Honduras or Guatemala. You don't get the smartest Salvadorians. You get the uneducated, you get the criminals, and the unemployable. Many of these people lack rudimentary education. They can't even read in their own language. A good many of them are criminals and rapists and pedophiles, just like President Trump said. They act like thugs in their own countries, and then they bring that crap here to the USA. I'm really surprised that the Me Too movement isn't more concerned with all those rapes that are happening in those third world countries, or all the sex trafficking and all the rapes that happen when they try to make it to the USA. And I guess the feminists and Me Too are too busy dealing with white men. They're the real enemy. I think it's an absolute lie that these illegals don't bring crime to the US. You know, you're going to hear all these bleeding heart liberals, oh, they don't bring crime, they only come here to work. Give me a break. Why don't all these liberals go move into the barrio neighborhoods where they live, deal with all the gangs, all the gang members, all the drugs, all the prostitution, all the pedophiles that rape their young nieces? Nobody wants to talk about that, but we all know it's true. Another major issue with illegals, it was brought up by Dr. Michael Savage on his radio show, it is completely underreported in the liberal media, is the fact that a lot of these people have diseases like measles, tuberculosis, and the Honduran flu, known as the H1N1, which can lead to paralysis and death in children. Many of these diseases were eradicated in the modern world, but because these countries have a third world healthcare system, third world healthcare practices, very poor hygiene, etc. That's why these diseases are coming back to the US and hurting our own people. It's another aspect of the illegal immigration, unchecked illegal immigration, that we have to address. Bottom line is that they're net financial loss for our country. They cost us a lot more than they produce. They cost our healthcare system, our educational system, our infrastructure, the penal system, emergency services, welfare, social security, etc. Not to mention that any American-born children of illegal aliens, who, by the way, have a much higher natural birth rate than Native Americans, they become instant citizens. The minute they're born here, they become instant citizens with all the welfare and all the social benefits of American citizens. So it's not only the parents, it's also their kids. And it costs a lot of money to all these border states, money that they don't have. They slow down our educational system. They bog it down with children who can't speak the language. Some of them with behavior issues. And many of them come from homes that don't even put an emphasis on the importance of education. I could go on and on and on the destruction of our social fiber, the destruction of our country, the watering down of our self-reliant culture, and also the long-term degradation of our social norms, our freedom of speech, our democracy in general. These people don't come from a culture that respects freedom of speech and democracy. They come from a culture where there's this strong man who basically tells everybody what to do. There's very few rich people in their countries, and the rest are poor, completely poor. We don't want to become a third world hellhole. We want to have a middle class. We want to have some rich, we want to have some poor, but we want to have a powerful middle class. We want to have a country where people respect freedom of speech, individual liberties, and we want to have a country that is safe, free of extra criminals. People always say, oh, they don't bring so much crime, but you know what? Even one crime that occurs by an illegal alien is a preventable crime. Don't we have our own criminals to deal with? Don't we have enough of our own crappy people that we have to deal with? We have to import more of them? I could go on and on. So why haven't we stopped this problem? A simple wall would work, trust me. Think the Berlin Wall. Think the Great Wall of China. Think the walls in Israel. Think the walls of the Vatican. The sad truth is this. Both the Democratic and Republican hierarchy, those kind of people that President Trump calls the swamp creatures, they're both extremely selfish and they're self-serving. They serve themselves and their special interest buddies. The Democrats love illegals because of the votes their children give them. And also because of all the illegal votes cast by illegals in contested states. In other words, illegals keep the Democrats in perpetual power. The Democrats also like the continuous game of racial tension and blame game, which turns white people into victimizers and minorities into victims. Just pay attention to the constant race baiting by the Democratic figures, all the way from Obama, Sharpton, Pelosi, and down to that retard Maxine Waters and occasional Cortex. Even crooked Hillary. She was another one of those that constantly played up racist claims and racial tensions. The Democrats rely on race baiting in order to win elections. But then to all the Republican voters for life, all my fans that say, oh, I'm a Republican for life, I have a big surprise for you too. The Republican establishment loves illegals, and they will do everything in their power to keep them coming and keep the ones that came here. Why, you ask? Big money. See, they get cheap labor for their big business interests. They get billions of dollars for the private jail industry that heavily donates to the Republican Party. There's billions of dollars that go to the Catholic Charities, the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. And how about La Raza, the Mexican group called The Race? La Raza support services and other nonprofits. As a matter of fact, close to 700 of these nonprofits took hundreds of millions of dollars from us, moron taxpayers, to provide support services for these illegal aliens. This happened just last year alone. So whenever you wonder why the Pope loves illegals so much, think money. Big money for the Catholic Church. So you see, none of the parties care about us. The poor suckers who vote for them. They're beholden to their own greed for money and power. They're not beholden to us, the American people, who sponsor all of this nonsense with our hard-earned dollars. No one represented us until a showboating billionaire decided to run for president. You remember that? Remember that escalator day? But even when he tried, and even though he tried and continues to try to build a wall and enforce our immigration laws, he gets stopped and knocked down at every turn. The reasons why? Very simple. Because both sides of the swamp are working overtime to destroy him and to destroy his America First agenda. The Roman Empire was destroyed because of mass population invasions by the barbarians. But here in the United States, we're facing a very similar and extremely perilous situation. Either we control our borders, or we don't have a country. We won't have a country for too much longer if this keeps up. And I say, keep supporting our president, but don't count on either party to solve our problem. Don't count on either party to help us with these illegal aliens. The solutions are all out there. But everyone likes the status quo. Never mind us, the American people. So many fans and friends always ask me, what is your solution? What is the AJ Steele solution to this illegal immigration problem? And here it is. Here's my prescription for how to deal with this existential threat to our country and our sovereignty. This is AJ Steele. I'll be right back with my plan for illegal immigration. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show, we tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. All I really want to be.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. Illegal immigration costs the United States $135 billion a year. That's over $8,000 per illegal alien. What would you do with that money? What would you do with $8,000? What could our country do with such a surplus? $135 billion per year. $135 billion per year equals $1,350 billion over 10 years. Wow. So here's my prescription for dealing with illegal immigration and saving our country. The first thing we must do is build that wall. Walls work. Fences work. Otherwise, people wouldn't have them around their houses, around schools, around prisons. Over 65 countries, Hungary, Egypt, Ukraine, Israel, India, Greece, Turkey, Spain, Saudi Arabia. 65 countries have separation walls. Not to mention the Great Wall of China, if we're going to look back in history, or the Berlin Wall, or the wall around the Vatican, which is still there. It was built to keep out the Muslim hordes. And yet all these liberals, all these experts tell you walls don't work. Ask them how come they lock their car. How come they lock their house door or their office? Every car can be broken into. Every home door can be broken into. Why do they bother locking their door? Think about it. A few leaks are better than a flood. Walls don't work 100%, but most people appreciate the walls in the zoo, right? They keep the animals in, or they keep us out of the animal cages. Walls may not be completely effective, but they sure slow down intruders. Every sovereign country has the right to control who gets into it. And every country has a right to strong borders, period. The next thing I will do is harshly punish all the employers who knowingly employ illegals. If these illegals don't have jobs, they're not going to come here. Mandate that every American company use E-Verify and punish the ones that abuse the system and hire illegals. I would immediately change the much-abused law on birthright citizenship. People who come here illegally should not be allowed to have children who become instant citizens. I would stop all government benefits to all illegal aliens and their children. The free lunch is over. No more free schools. No more free hospitals. No more free food. Enough of them being parasites feeding off the flesh of hardworking Americans. And by the way, I feel the same way about legal immigrants. If they can't afford to live here, they shouldn't come here to become a burden on American society. The next thing I would do is end the asylum system as we know it. Let people apply for asylum from their country and remove the decision power from the courts and give it to border agents. If they enter illegally, they will automatically lose their right to an asylum review. Hundreds of thousands of people who come here for financial reasons are abusing that system and they're lying to us every year in order to get into our country. I would also end the catch and release program. Anyone who enters our country illegally should be kicked out immediately. Most of these illegal aliens who are released into the USA never come back for their hearings. They just melt into our neighborhoods and disappear. I would automatically deport every illegal alien with a criminal record. I don't care if it's drunk driving. I don't care if it's a tiny misdemeanor. I don't care if it's murder. They should be kicked out of the country without additional court hearings. There is no reason for any of these people to be here at all. I would either end or tax very highly all remittance payments and wire transfers sent from illegal aliens to their home countries. Our American economy loses $50 billion every year because of these transfers. Now for the part that many of you are not going to like, but I think I'm coming up with it because it's a practical solution. We probably have over 30 million illegal aliens in America. We can't just kick all of them out. It's not practical and it doesn't make sense. I think we should keep some of them. I think we should keep the ones that have a potential to help our country and to thrive on their own and actually contribute to our society. I think we should offer them a chance to stay. This is very important, especially for illegal immigrants who were brought here as children at no fault of their own. Now, I don't care if they're kids or adults, if they're a financial burden or a social burden to society, they must be deported immediately. So this is the end of my prescription for dealing with the illegal immigration issue. If you have more ideas or better ideas, or if you disagree with me, feel free to tweet me at AJSteelShow, that's my Twitter handle, or to email me at AJSteelShow@gmail.com. If America becomes inhospitable enough for these illegal aliens, many of them will choose to leave on their own. At that point, I suggest we provide them with a free one-way ticket home. The cost for this program would be minimal compared to the cost of keeping all of them here.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. I'm so happy to have all of you out there listening to me. Donald Trump, he may be the greatest president ever for America and for Israel. He not only moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jews for over 3,000 years, and this is after five previous presidents promised and failed to do so, but he also removed the term occupied from the Israeli Golan Heights, a strategic plateau used to defend Israel from Syria, Hezbollah, and the largest sponsor of terrorism in the world, Iran. And yet all I hear about him from the liberal Jews is that he's an evil anti-Semitic man. He scores no points at all for the fact that his daughter Ivanka converted to Judaism and married an Orthodox Jew. It makes no difference for them that President Trump's grandchildren are raised as Jewish children. They don't care. To this miserable, self-loathing lefty Jews, he is still Hitler. Whenever I talk to them about how great Trump is to Israel, they keep bringing up the same thing. Charlottesville, Charlottesville.
He supported the KKK. He said Nazis are good people.
Well, for once and for all, let's see what he actually said. Here's the script, and I quote, "Protesters deserve an equal amount of blame for the violence." What about the alt-left that came charging at, as you say, at the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? I've condemned neo-Nazis. I've condemned many different groups. But not all of these people were neo-Nazis, believe me, he said. You had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists. The press has treated them absolutely unfairly. You also had some very fine people on both sides. There we go. That's the horrible sentence. The sentence that made him a Nazi, a anti-black, an anti-Jewish racist. You know what? I actually agree with President Trump. Not everyone protesting the removal of Civil War era statues is a Nazi or white nationalist. Some people protesting there were very decent Southern people. And by the same token, not everyone who called for the statues' removal is a member of the fascist organization Antifa or the racist Black Lives Matter group. Some people there were decent people who believe that the statues are hurtful and should be removed. I may disagree with them, but they have a right to that opinion, and that's what you call democratic discourse in the United States. Every time I talk about these issues with my conservative, Trump-voting Jewish friends, they always nod and say, if President Trump was able to walk on water, and he proved it, these Jewish liberals would say, what, he can't swim? I guess he can't win. But let's get back to a little history of Jewish people in America and why I think these liberal Jews are so self-loathing and so angry all the time. Jewish people have been a part of the USA since the beginning, but a large influx of Jews came here in the early 1900s to escape poverty and anti-Semitism in Eastern Europe and Russia. Think of the Fiddler on the Roof play. That's the kind of Jews these were. Very poor, but extremely hardworking and extremely happy to come to the new land, the new promised land of America. Then in the 1930s, many American Jews, probably the grandparents of today's self-loathing, self-hating liberal Jews, went strangely silent during the Holocaust. The New York Times, which was a Jewish-owned newspaper, and still is, mostly refused to cover the murder of 6 million European Jews. Amazing, isn't it? And then in 1948, most Jewish people around the world, including the U.S., were overjoyed when Israel, the first Jewish state in 2,000 years, was reborn in an ancestral home of the Jews, the Holy Land, Israel. The country was split into two parts, one for Israel and the other for the so-called Palestinians. The Palestinians naturally were unhappy because they wanted the whole land to be theirs and to be Jew-free, and so they attacked immediately in a war that they eventually lost. That war was called the War of Independence. In 1967, it was actually cool to be a Jew in America because of a quick war called the Six-Day War, which reunited Jerusalem under Jewish rule after more than 20 centuries. This was a big victory for Israel. They took over Jerusalem, they took the West Bank, they took the Gaza Strip, and they also took the Sinai Peninsula from the Egyptians. Many American Jews were great helpers of the new state, and they supported it with their money and their blessings. And yet, as Israel started flourishing and became a more powerful country, many American Jews started to abandon their unconditional support of Israel. First of all, in the 80s, the usual suspects, the liberal Jews, complained that the Israelis were too rough, they're too aggressive, they got chutzpah. And then it turned into complaints about the treatment of Muslim Arabs who lost the wars and thus lost some of their land. Mind you, these same Arabs are the same people who would love to massacre every Jew, whether Israeli or American. It makes no difference. If they had the power, they would kill them all. In the 90s, the anti-Israel Jewish movement gained momentum in liberal colleges. And by the mid-2000s, the liberal Jews have all but abandoned their support of Israel and joined the increasing amounts of Muslims in the USA in theological and verbal attacks of the Jewish homeland of Israel. Today, believe it or not, there's many liberals who are self-hating Jews who are becoming more and more brave in expressing their hatred of Israel and their hatred of conservative America. Some of these famous self-hating Jews include Bernie Sanders, a worthless, lazy scoundrel who was kicked out of a commune in the 60s for refusing to do minimal work. Another jerk is George Soros, an evil Mephisto-type character, a financier who admitted to working with the Nazis as a child, and he grew up to be one of the worst enemies of the USA and Israel, not to mention the rest of the free world. Noam Chomsky is another Israel hater, an America hater, who happens to be of Jewish descent. He is what I would call an anti-Semite at this point. And New York Times, Thomas Friedman, what a pompous ass. You get to read his articles condemning Israel in every instance that he can. And maybe even more worrisome for Jewish people or decent Americans of all faiths is a guy named Rabbi Rick Jacobs. Now, I'm not sure what kind of rabbi he is, but he is the head of the Jewish Reform Movement, a movement that has millions of members. And all he does is attack Israel, attack President Trump. He attacks the policies of Israel. He constantly supports the Muslims. He constantly supports the haters of America and tries to put down conservatives here as KKK members, as Nazis. I mean, this man is supposed to be a Jewish leader in America, and yet it seems like he's more concerned about illegal aliens and Muslim rights than he is about American rights and about Jewish people's rights. These are the American liberal Jews. What a sad state of affairs. With friends like these, who needs enemies, huh? And I wonder, what happened? How did they end up like this? What is this, the reason for this self-hatred? Is this some kind of a misplaced sense of guilt for surviving and thriving? Are they just moral and physical cowards? They just have a desire not to be noticed, not to be patronizing? I don't know. Maybe they're just jealous of the manly men over there in Israel, their Jewish brothers and sisters who are beautiful people, very proud people, self-assured, virile. They don't act like they're scared of anybody. If somebody messes with them, they mess with them right back. Is that what they hate so much? The fact that there's such wimps here in America? One thing these lefty Jewish diaspora wimps didn't learn from the Holocaust is this. Playing nice and fitting in with the prevailing social winds will not save them from the ovens. It's very sad to me, but it seems to me like those ovens of anti-Semitism are being fired up again. And this time it's not the Nazis that Jews have to worry about. It's the virulent left-wingers in the Democratic Party. These are the newly empowered Muslim and Muslim-loving politicians like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Occasional Cortex. Not to mention that scum guy from the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan, Black Lives Matter, and all of the anti-Semitic supporting black and Muslim activists. And believe it or not, these liberal Jews, they would still rather vote for these Democrats than to vote for Donald Trump. They hate Trump more than they love their own people. They hate President Trump more than they love their lives and more than they love America. That is sickening. I talked to one lefty liberal Jew after another, and all they do is make excuses for Muslims nonstop. Oh, they're people of peace, they're a religion of peace. Oh, we just need to give them a chance. Oh, they're oppressed. Yes, they're so oppressed that they love to freaking cut your throats open. So enough is enough. Wake up. Wake up. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Today's new anti-Semites and fascists are not the conservatives. Donald Trump is not your enemy. The boogeyman of the KKK is long, long gone. Or if not completely gone, it's greatly weakened. Today's fascists and Israel haters are the so-called socialists in the Muslim wing of the new Democratic Party. America lovers, Israel lovers, beware, beware. Wake up before it's too late. Before it's too late for all the good people in this nation. Before it's too late for our way of life. Before it's too late for America. Before it's too late for the world. I implore you, wake up. We've reached the end of our show. I want to thank all of you for listening to us, and I hope you spread the word about the AJ Steele Show. I also hope that you don't forget to follow our podcast. This is AJ Steele. Take care. The AJ Steele Show, copyrighted 2019.